you, Jesus. Oh, let's stand all over the house and worship him because he's our Savior. I worship you because you're my healer. I worship you because you're my Redeemer. I worship you because you're my Deliverer. I worship you because you're my Provider. I worship you because you're my Restorer. I worship you because you're my Friend. Hallelujah. I worship you because you gave yourself for me. I worship you because you love me first. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, we can never run out of reasons. We can never run out of reasons. Hallelujah. Why we worship. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, choir. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Amen. Glory to God. The presence of the Lord is here. And I believe the Lord's ready to pour into our hearts from his word. Every song that's been sung is just directed in this moment. They didn't know what I was preaching on today. They didn't know in Sunday school what I was preaching on today. And I mean, I know I've been preaching on more, but they didn't know exactly what it was. And praise God. God knew. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Thank you, musicians, for your help this morning. If you're joining us online, we want you to just feel welcome. And if you're here today and you're a visitor, we want you to feel welcome. There's several here that haven't been here because of sickness and different things over the last few weeks. We're glad you're back this morning in the house of the Lord. And continue to pray for those who aren't able to be here. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Let's read the first 8 verses. We'll skip around a little bit after that. And then we'll preach about this story here. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had 2 wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she, her adversary, provoked her. Therefore she wept, Hannah wept, and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Look at verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Verse 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah was giving God more. Praise God. Woo! I'm ready to preach. How about y'all? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Anoint your word today. Speak to us. Let my words be few, but yours many. Anoint this preacher. Anoint our time together, Lord, around the altars. I pray in the course of this sermon, your spirit would speak to hearts exactly what they need to hear. Bring hope into this room. We love you, Jesus. And the church said amen. 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 You may be seated this morning. I haven't done very much by way of farming or gardening, but we have done a little bit. And is that Brother John back there? Get ready to show that first picture, Brother John, just a moment here. We've raised a few dozen chickens and throughout our marriage, and we've planted some garden vegetables and fruits. And one of the things that will do to you is it'll teach you patience. It will. You have to learn a lot, especially if you're raising chickens. Anybody ever raised chickens in here? You know what I'm talking about. You get them from a chick, and you just can't wait for that fruit to come from that chicken. You want that fruit, the eggs, on your breakfast plate every morning. I remember Brother George Davis told his grandson, Hunter, Brother Jared's son, he said, if those chickens don't start laying eggs, he said, I want you to go into that chicken coop and you tell them, now listen here, chickens, it's either chicken eggs or chicken legs. He said he found him in there saying that to those chickens one day. It takes time, but in the meantime, you know, when you're raising chickens, especially that first round, you go back to that coop, you're like, okay, we've been raising them. They're about 4 or 5 months, 6 months old. It should be time. It's warm enough. It should be time for them to start laying some eggs. And I remember our first go around, we checked that nesting box multiple times a day, waiting, just waiting, hoping for something, for anything. And finally it happens. And you see there in that carton of eggs, see that little white egg? I mean, that thing's not enough to feed a bird on, but there it is. That's one of the first times we had an egg. That thing showed up and we thought, wow, here we are. We finally have something to show for what we're doing. I know it was tiny, but to us, it was still fruit. Go to the next photo, Brother John. I want to show you another photo here. What kind of seed is that? Anybody know? Anybody? So far, not right. What'd you say, Taron? No, it's not a pumpkin seed. Not a mustard, not a peach, not a watermelon. We'll be here all day, won't we? It's an apple seed. Did anybody say apple? Maybe one or two. Oh, somebody in the back did. Brother Micah knows his seeds. Apple seed. Yeah, that's an apple seed, though. It does come from a tree. It's an apple seed. Now, you see inside, you can see inside that seed. What's in that seed? Anybody know? Potentially, there's a whole orchard of apples inside that one seed. Praise the Lord. Woo! That seed has a purpose, church. That seed, that one little seed has a purpose. You got to plant that seed, but if you want it to bear fruit, you got to plant it. You got to fertilize it. You got to water it. It has to be planted, watered, and fertilized. But that's what it was made for. It was made to be more than just a seed. It was made to be an apple seed. And it was made to bring apples. It was made to bring fruit. Come on now. If you planted some apple seeds, you know what? It would take 5 to 10 years for that apple seed to grow into a tree and to bear fruit. Before you even knew if it was going to be good fruit, it would take 5 to 10 years. But that's still what the purpose for that single seed is. It takes patience, but church, fruit will come. Praise the Lord. And now in the text, we read about a woman named Hannah. Hannah was created to bear fruit. She wanted to be a mother so badly. She knew she was supposed to have children. So let's talk about Hannah for a moment. The title of the message this morning is this: Barren No More. Amen. Barren No More. Now, I'm just going to really preach conversational style this morning. But something I want you to know about Hannah: she was a bride. She was a bride. Her husband was a Levite by the name of Elkanah. Elkanah loved Hannah. In fact, he loved her so much that we are told that when it came time for him to sacrifice and give of the portion to his household, he gave to his second wife, Peninnah, and her sons and daughters a portion of the sacrifice to eat. But unto Hannah, the love of his life, he gave what was called a worthy portion on that particular day that we read in Scripture. Throughout the New Testament, church, we find that you and and I, as believers, we are a part of the bride of Christ. Just like Hannah was the bride of Elkanah, we are the bride of Christ. He tells us in the book of Ephesians, he says, men, you ought to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He told the Corinthian church, he has betrothed himself to us. To us, we are betrothed to him. We are the bride of Christ. And in Revelation, we read that we are the bride that is made ready for our groom. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to be a part of the bride of Christ. Second thing we notice about Hannah is she was barren. Even though Elkanah loved his wife and treated her great, there was a big problem in her life and in their union. She was barren. That means that she could have no children. Now, this barrenness in the culture of the day caused Elkanah to need to marry a second wife so he could raise up posterity or a generation to come after him that could carry on within his inheritance. That's why he married Peninnah, so he could have children, that the inheritance would be able to be passed on from generation to generation. So he married Peninnah, and Peninnah was not barren. She had many children, but still Elkanah loved his beloved wife Hannah. He preferred her above all others. Now I want you to notice something about this barrenness. It was not her fault. There was nothing she did to create this problem. Yet even though barrenness wasn't her fault, it was still her problem. But even in the midst of this problem, Hannah knew she was made for more. Praise God. Amen. She was made for more. She was barren and she was broken. So this bride was broken. Her barrenness caused her brokenness. Read verse 10. It says that she wept sore, right? Remember that. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. Remember, it wasn't anything that she did, but the problem was heavy. She was burdened by the problem, and the problem had broken her spirit. She was so broken, the Bible says, that she wept uncontrollably, and she had no desire to even eat. I don't know if you've ever been there. I look like I've never been there, praise the Lord. But there are times when we face overwhelming circumstances. We don't want to eat. The emotional trauma and her barrenness had caused her to shun the food that her husband was trying to provide for her. Her response to that emotional trauma was physical tears and refraining from food. Yet still in her barrenness and still in her brokenness, Hannah knew she was made for more. Praise God. And now, not only was she broken, not only was she barren, but we also see that Hannah was berated. Finally, all of the negative aspects culminate into this. She was berated by her adversary. Look at the text, if you can, verses 6 and 7. It says, her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And so year by year, when Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her adversary provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. Who was her adversary? Peninnah, the other woman in her husband's life. She provoked her sorely from day in and day out. She constantly made remarks taunting her for the problem that wasn't even Hannah's fault. You see, Peninnah was jealous of the affection that Elkanah showed to Hannah. So year after year, on their way to Shiloh, to the house of God to worship, the adversary Peninnah would make bitter and biting comments directed towards Hannah. She would say things like, hey, I don't even know why you come with us. You've got nothing to offer. You come empty-handed. You come all by yourself. Look at all the things I have. You're nothing compared to me, Hannah. You're nothing. You can't give Elkanah anything. You don't have anything to offer God even. You are deranged if you think that you have a purpose in this life. You remember last week we talked about that widow who, when she walked through Nain at the procession of her son's funeral, that she would have been marked as one that brought death rather than life into this world. But Hannah, even more so, would have been considered a detriment to society and to her husband Elkanah by the insensitive folks. But still yet, even in this moment, while she was berated by an adversary, Hannah knew, I'm made for more than this. Hallelujah. You know, church, we are the bride of Christ. Yet we have an adversary that's a lot like Penina. He's not married to Christ, but he still accuses the brethren and the sisters. He's still an accuser. You know what I'm talking about? Satan, the adversary of your soul, constantly breathing out temptations and cruelties, remarks and accusations. He'll say, I don't even know why you even try anymore. You never bear fruit. You never have anything to offer. You don't have anything to show for your faith. Anybody ever get lied to by the enemy that way? He'll say, you have too many issues. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. Satan will say, look at your past. Look at all the things that you've done, but not just look at your past. He'll say, look at the struggles you carry with you every time you go to the house of God. Look at the dysfunction in your marriage, the dysfunction in your home. You don't meet the qualifications. You're too old. You're too young. You're not a good singer. You don't speak well in front of people. You don't have anything to offer God. Why do you even go there? Accusation after accusation after accusation. But church, you've got to remember, the devil is a liar. Hallelujah. The truth is not in him. Every time he breathes out anything, it is bent towards deception. Half-truths are still lies. Church, we all have struggles. We all have issues. We all have a past. But the good news is Jesus loves me anyway. Praise God. I said Jesus loves us anyways. Now, we're not sure what made Hannah barren. We may never know. When we get to heaven, we probably won't even care to ask that question. The clear thing from this story is this. She knew that even in her barrenness, she was made for more than that. Hallelujah. She knew children are a heritage of the Lord. Children are a blessing and a sign of favor. So she said, I want my blessing and I refuse to settle without it. I need to slow down for a minute. Praise the Lord. I know there are seasons of dormancy in life. We often feel like we're spinning our wheels and getting nowhere. Sometimes we feel defeated. Sometimes we feel discouraged. And we're not seeing the profits of our labor like we want to. I mean, we want to bring God more, but we just don't have more to bring. We try to grow our departments, but it's still the same 5 or 10 or 15 that we've had when we began. We try to excite people to come and witness people to bring them to church and all these different things. But every time we invite our neighbors and our loved ones and even strangers we meet at Meyer, Sister Amanda, we invite them to church and they meet us with excuses, or they don't show up and they let us down. We try to help believers grow in their discipleship. Teachers, listen, we try to disciple them and bring them to a place of maturity. And oftentimes immaturity reigns and continues. There's a lack of transformation and a lack of activation of the truths that we teach. But we know, even in a barren season, we are made for more. Glory to God. Her husband tried to comfort and encourage her. He said, listen, I gave you this worthy portion. Hannah, am I not better to you than 10 sons? But she refused to be satisfied with where she was. I like what Mark Batterson said. I've said it to you before. I'm called to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. I heard a pastor telling this story recently about a church member at his church. He said they were overwhelmed with the growth of their church. They had gone from a 200-seat auditorium. They built and put in 400 chairs. Then they outgrew that and they had to put in 600 chairs. And there was a saint of God that came up to him him one day and said, Pastor, I'm worried about our church. There's just too many new people. There's too many new folks. She said, I don't even know them all. I don't even know who they are. And he said, I don't either. I don't know who they are either. And she said, we need to do something about this. We got to tell them they can't be here anymore. Wow, that's sad, isn't it? He looked at her and said, and I love his response. He said, well, how do you want me to go about telling your kids and grandkids that just came to the Lord that they're no longer welcome here? And she said, you got me there. We get comfortable where we're at and we think, okay, I can settle for this. But Hannah, even though she had a worthy portion and a loving spouse, she was not comfortable being barren. She wanted more for her life. Church, we are made for more. Come on. We are the bride of Christ, created to bear fruit and bring God more glory. So I'm not satisfied. How about you? Not willing to settle. And even though her adversary rose up against her, she refused to succumb to those accusations. I know, Penina, I know I don't have any kids. I don't have a lot to offer, but I'm still going up there to Shiloh anyway. I'm still making my way. See, even in the barrenness and brokenness and the berating of the accusation of the accuser, she was faithful. Praise God. Everybody say faithful. She was faithful. In the midst of it all, Hannah was faithful. Year after year, she kept walking up, riding up to Shiloh to worship the Lord alongside her husband. Now, you and I, we don't have to travel like they did back then to go to church. It took them days, even weeks, to get up to the house of worship. It takes us just a few minutes. Even if you live 30 miles out, you can be here in about 30 minutes. So in essence, your faithfulness in a barren season would be you are here on a weekly basis. Can I hear an amen? Even though it's hard and you're discouraged and the enemy's lying to you and berating you, you still make it, hallelujah, to the house of God because you want to be faithful even in a dry and barren season. And she was faithful. She kept pushing forward. Her request was the same year after year. Seeing that Penina kept bringing forth children, she knew she was made for more. Her request continued, but she was faithful. And here we read, she made a vow to the Lord. She said, God, if you'll give me a man child, if you'll give me a son, I will bring him back to you. I'll lend him to you for your service. She literally was willing, instead of keeping her son forever, letting him go into the hands of the Father, to be used for the glory of God. She was so desperate, yet she still was faithful. So she's crying out to God. And this is what she's doing. She's kneeling down by the pillar, and she's just... You ever seen somebody pray like that? You know. And Eli notices her, and he says, what is wrong with that woman? She's praying silently, but intentionally. And the priest notices her, and he prejudges the situation. Whoo, I've done that before. Anybody else done that before? We shouldn't prejudge people, right? We don't know what they're going through when they walk in the door. Let them come in. Come on now. Let them come in. Don't you tell, man, I can't believe you came. Let them come looking like that. You don't know how hard it was for them to get out the door to get to the house of God. Praise the Lord. So there she is, Hannah. She's kneeling by the pillar. She's throwing her, not accusation, but she's throwing her need up to heaven. And here the priest is. He goes over to her. He's ready to kick her out. Woman, what are you doing? How are you? Why did you come here drunk? You need to put that away from you. Get off of that bottle and give your life to God. But Hannah says, oh, priest, she explains that situation so gracefully. Remember, she's faithful. Even when the people who are supposed to protect her are misunderstanding her. She said, I'm not the woman of the world like you think I am. I'm not a woman of Belial or a woman of the enemy. I'm here to pour out my soul to the Lord again. And Eli responds to her and he says, well, go in peace, and the God of Israel will grant you thy petition that you have asked of him. She's faithful, but church, she's about to be fruitful. Praise God. Remember that apple seed, it has to be planted, watered, fertilized year to year, season to season, day by day. It isn't easy work, but if the fruit is going to come, that work must be done. You got to listen right here. Don't stop praying. Don't stop coming to the house of God. Don't stop worshiping. Come on. Don't stop spreading the gospel. Don't stop showing kindness to your enemy. Don't stop trying to reach the world, because even though you're sowing in tears right now, there is coming a day of reaping in joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, fruit, is going to come in the morning. She was fruitful. Glory. Verse 19 says, the Lord remembered her. Praise the Lord. Finally, fruit came. She conceived and bare a son and called his name Samuel. Samuel means God has heard. God has heard your prayers. God has heard your cry. Hallelujah. So we see a faithful God who heard the cry of a faithful bride. He didn't leave her. He didn't forget her. She brought forth life. She brought forth a son. In the next few years, going up to Shiloh, Elkanah and Penina and all her sons and daughters, they went up to Shiloh. But for a few years, Hannah stayed back. And I can just imagine Eli going over to Elkanah saying, hey, where's that other woman that you come with? Oh, priest, let me tell you what happened. She's back at home. She's got a baby boy attached to her. She won't let him out of her sight. She's training him up in the right way. She'll be back soon. But for right now, she's basking in the blessings and in the fruit that the Lord has given her. But as soon as it was the right time, she made good on her promise. Amen. Isaac, where are you at, Isaac? Can you help me? He wanted to help me so bad digging that ditch last week. Come here, Isaac. Oh, praise the Lord. So that day comes. Thank you, Isaac. She carries Isaac. She takes him up to Shiloh. Let's go up to Shiloh right here. And she says, here he is. Oh, here he is, God. This is the son that I prayed for. This was the fruit that you promised I would bear. And I'm going to give him back to you, Lord. I'm going to give him to you, lend him to you. So she, thank you, Isaac. Give Isaac a hand. So she goes up to Isaac. She goes up to Eli. She says, this is the son that the Lord gave me. It's not just a random child that is born. This is a son that hears the voice of God. This is a son that becomes a judge and a prophet in Israel. He anoints two kings. He was God's mouthpiece for generations. And even to us today, we read words that he spoke. All because the faithfulness led to fruitfulness. And year after year, Malachi, come help me. Samuel, can't get off that now. Come up here. So Samuel grows and he becomes a young man. And every year, listen, this is awesome. Every year, let me take my jacket. You know what she does? Hannah knits a new coat. Praise the Lord. And I can just imagine Hannah, you know, she's, Elkanah, I need you to bring the donkey this time because I got to finish knitting Samuel's coat. And she's over there. She's looking at Penina knitting. She's not gloating, but she's boasting of the blessings. And come on now. What do you got to say now, Penina? Nothing. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I've got a son. And she takes him that new coat. Amen. Year after year. Glory to God. There's a few years. Listen, praise the Lord. I need to find a baby that won't cry if I take her. Ellie, come here. Can I hold you? She's my friend. There we go. Year after year, she brings a coat. Woo! But there came a year when she walked up. She said, hey, Samuel, look at this. You have a sister. Glory! Praise God. The next year she goes and says, Samuel, listen, I know you're growing, but listen, so is our family. We have twins. This time we have a son and a daughter. You know what? She gave birth to three more sons and two daughters. Her faithfulness led to much fruitfulness. Church, I want you to know something. You keep digging and the Lord will keep blessing. You keep trying and the Lord will keep bringing in the blessing. You keep pushing and the Lord will provide. You know, it's in thank you, Malachi, for your help. She had another son, another daughter, kept bringing forth more fruit because it's in the nature of a woman. She wanted to be a mother. She wanted to bring forth fruit. But to be fruitful, she had to be faithful. It wasn't her fault, but it was her problem. Even though it was her problem, church, it was not impossible. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, this is what happened, how Hannah responded to the Lord's favor in her life. Let me read chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 here. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. I love this. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. She's speaking that to Peninnah, to the enemy, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. And by him actions are weighed. Listen, they that were full have hired out themselves for bread. And this is her. And they were hungry have ceased, so that the barren hath borne seven. She hath many children. Oh, praise the Lord. Then she said this, verses 8 through 10 in chapter 2. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, but he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Church, you are a part of the anointed of the kingdom of God, and there is going to be a season of bearing fruit. We will be bearing no more. Music come. Let's stand. I got one more picture to show you. Amen. Show that last photo. Glory to God. Show that last photo if you can, Brother John. Anybody know what that is? It's bamboo. Hallelujah. That bamboo, there's a story about the Chinese bamboo plant. That bamboo is planted, and then it's watered and it's fertilized every single day. Every day that planter, that farmer goes out and he waters and he fertilizes that plant. He plants it and he waters and he fertilizes it day after day for that first year, and nothing comes out of the ground. The second year, every day, water and plant, and nothing shoots up out of the ground. He goes back again the third year, every single day, watering and fertilizing for every single day. That third year, still nothing comes up out of the ground. He goes back the fourth year, watering and fertilizing day by day. And church, nothing comes out of the ground. Fifth year, he goes out there every single day. Imagine the monotony and the boringness of that life. But he knows that towards the end of that fifth year, the turning of the sixth year, there's going to come a morning when he walks out there and all of a sudden that bamboo plant has started to come up out of the ground. Church, listen, within 5 weeks, no fruit for 5 years, but within 5 weeks, he's looking up at a 90-foot tall bamboo tree, because you know what's happened in the meantime. When people say it's barren, God is doing a work deep down inside the earth. The roots are growing deep. There's a system that can't be broken, and the fruit is going to come. So don't despise it. You haven't seen your prayers answered yet. The fruit is coming. coming. Hallelujah. And this is the last word I got to say, and we're going to come pray. I just felt the Lord speak it to my heart. The time for bearing fruit is now. Glory to God. We got to be faithful. Hallelujah. Woo. Be encouraged. The time for bearing fruit is now. Let's come. Find a place to pray. Oh, let's be faithful and feeling after the Lord this morning. Digging for that oil, pressing for that oil we preached out about Sunday night. Digging deep. Hallelujah. Letting that root continue down and letting God bring forth the fruit in its season. Remember, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But church, let's not be satisfied with a little when we can be blessed and find much. Hallelujah. And bring Him more glory. The time for bearing fruit is now. Thank you, Jesus. Bearing no more. Bearing no more.
All that I am, all that I have, I lay them down before you. The joy and the pain, I'm making them yours. Lord, I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you. As a pleasing sacrifice, Lord, I offer you my life. I offer my life to you, everything I've been through. Use it for your glory, Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise.
For your glory, Lord.
a pleasing sound.